Strikes last summer by berry pickers at Sukuma Brothers Farms in Skagit County focused attention on the plight of migrant workers. Few people are more familiar with what life is like for those workers than anthropologist Seth Holmes. His new book, Fresh Fruit, Broken Bodies, chronicles the two seasons he spent living and working alongside berry pickers in Washington State about a decade ago. Holmes doesn't identify the farm where he worked, but he says it was the largest farm in the Skagit Valley, employing about 500 people at the height of picking time. KPLU business and labor reporter Ashley Gross spoke with Holmes about his time working alongside the migrant workers who came from villages in Oaxaca, Mexico.
How hard was it to win the confidence of the indigenous Triqui people?
It took a long time. So I lived for about 5 months in a labor camp on a berry farm and picked berries 1 or 2 days a week, and the rest of the week interviewed Triqui berry pickers, managers, supervisors, farm owners, and area residents, as well as physicians and nurses. And it felt like a long time, 5 months of working and living and feeling like people weren't sure whether they should talk with me or trust me.
Who did they think you were?
Good question. So there were rumors going around that I was either a spy for the U.S. government or the Border Patrol who was trying to find people who shouldn't be here. And there was also a rumor that I was a drug smuggler who was hiding out from the U.S. government, trying to hide out on the farm.
So describe what your living conditions were like there.
In the berry farm, usually one or two families lived in what was called in Spanish a cabina, a cabin. They were plywood walls and tin roofs. So in the middle of the summer, they would easily get above 100 degrees. And then in the fall, after strawberry season, during blueberry season, at night, oftentimes it would easily get below freezing. And the way that I know that is that my breath would often condense during the fall in the blueberry season on the tin roof and freeze. And then in the morning when the sun came up, my breath would essentially rain down on me and my things and kind of wake me up.
One poignant part I found in your book was when you were speaking with one of your Triqui friends and saying that you didn't have grand ambitions for the place that you would live in eventually. And he said, well, you'll at least have an inside toilet, right? Were you struck by that comment?
I was struck by that comment. He had said, that was Samuel, who I got to know well, and we were eating dinner in his labor camp shack with him and his family, and he said something about, right now you and we are the same, we're poor, but later you'll live in a luxury house. In Spanish, he said, casa de lujo. And I explained, no, I just want a simple house, and I was honestly picturing a craftsman in Seattle. And his response was, but you'll have a bathroom on the inside, right? And he was clearly showing that he had a good analysis of social inequalities, of the difference between being white and Mexican, the difference between having U.S. citizenship and not, and what all of that meant in terms of what you could afford, the resources you have.
There are some really heartbreaking stories in here, and I think of one of Marcelina. She's a single mom who had to leave her older child at home in Oaxaca and kept her younger daughter with her on the berry farm. And she says, one gains nothing here, nothing to survive. Besides that, I have a daughter here with me and I don't make anything to give her. Working and working, nothing. I've been here for 4 years and nothing. Can you tell me a little bit more about her situation and how representative that is?
It's definitely representative. A lot of Triqui pickers told me that they expected that coming to the U.S. would help them be able to get ahead, help them provide for their family. And in certain ways, it helped them survive, but none of them felt like they were able to get ahead. A lot of people felt disappointed in the realities that they often described as suffering or sufrimiento in Spanish.
After reading your book, it's going to be hard for me to go into the store and buy a container of berries without thinking about the people who spent the time picking them. What do you say to consumers who are concerned about this? Where should we just not buy berries, or what alternatives do we have?
I think it's important for us to buy berries, do what we can to support local farming. I think it's important for us to do what we can to find out the conditions on those farms, whether it's at a farmer's market asking questions about the farm conditions, whether it's going to the United Farm Workers website, ufw.org, or the Piñeros y Campesinos Unidos website, pcun.org, or looking for the new label EFI, Equitable Farm Initiative, that show that the produce from those farms has gone through a certain kind of contract with the workers or a certain kind of evaluation for treating the workers well. Whatever we can do to support those farms, support local farms while supporting farm workers is really important.
Thank you so much for talking with me.
Thank you, Ashley.
Seth Holmes is a doctor and a professor of public health and medical anthropology at the University of California, Berkeley. He's the author of Fresh Fruit, Broken Bodies. Ashley Gross, KPLU News.